Wow, olive oil. Yes, wow. You use a lot of olive oil. So
it's good.
I
come at me.
I'm not coming at you. I'm just...
Come great. At me with my olive oil.
Wow! This got aggressive fast.
It's Jasmine.
It's Haley.
And welcome back to Cults, Conspiracies,
and Other Creepies.
Oh, we did it.
Yay.
It is early in the morning.
I'm
wrecked.
9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we're running on nothing right now.
Yes, nothing.
But it was just Haley's birthday like 2 days ago, and it was really fun.
Yes, February 7th, so like when this comes out, all you guys should know now. But I am officially 19. I feel old.
Yes. I feel like 19 is kind of the age like no one cares about, because it's like you turn 18, it's like, ooh, I can vote. You turn 21 and people are like, ooh, I can drink or whatever. And then it's like 19 is just in the middle.
I like how 19 you talk about voting, when 19 it's like me. Oh, I can get piercings. I can get tattoos. I can smoke if I want to. Those are the things I think about. Those are the things.
Yeah, because you can buy that in lottery tickets.
And lottery tickets. Those are like the four things like, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how that's all 18 and then there's just 19.
And then there's 20, like 19, 20.
19, yeah, and 20. But 20, it's kind of cool because it's like, whoa, you're like two whole decades old. So at least it has some significance.
It's a little better than 19, but yeah, 19's like, well, you're just 19.
Last teenage year. How do you feel?
Old.
Me too.
Adult. Scared. Bro.
I feel old, but I also feel like a young idiot at the same time.
I think that's basically college kids right there.
Summer. It is.
But yeah. On my side, I got some good news.
Yes.
So let me explain. Okay, so I listened to Cricket Too Early in the Morning. Cricket Cousins. And I love these girls very, very much. And they're like a new podcast like us. And they talk about true crime.
Yes. Love some true crime.
Yes. And so I'm like I'm so caught, like first day I was so caught up. Okay, so so they're like, hey guys, we don't have merch, but we got a sponsor, and like we're gonna give some away some like little goodies.
Ooh.
And stuff. So like they say if you left them a 5-star review and comment something really nice with the review and like put your like Instagram or like Twitter handle, like they would like DM you possibly. And like, well, I was chosen. I use my private account, so
what?
No one thinks that like they're getting a shout out because they're like, oh, they have a podcast. No. So yeah, so they DM'd me. And they were like, hey, we want to, like, give you some gifts, some goodies. And so, yeah, so, it was Sunday, and they, Saturday or Sunday around there, but they said that it was going to get mailed out Monday, so I am gratefully awaiting them.
That is amazing. We love interacting with other podcasts. It's so fun.
So yeah, so they did not pick me. I just want to clarify, they did not pick me because they knew we had podcasts. Like, I use my personal Instagram mm-hmm. for this. You can go see. If you can find it, you can see I used it. But yeah, I love those girls, and I just want to give them a shout out because they are so kind and sweet. And then I did tell them after I mm-hmm. talked about our podcast, and they said they would give it a listen. So,
I'm so excited. Definitely give them a listen, too.
Yes, please. They are amazing. And I love what they do with their podcast, like how they kind of like run the episodes. So I'll have mm-hmm. like a theme like death by like antifreeze.
Ooh.
Or like, yeah.
I like that.
Like just like different like random like little things here and there. Like, so yeah, so like I love how they do it, and it's like missing persons case on like a cruise ship, like just fun little
yeah.
stuff like this.
I like that. And also, we want to give a quick shout out to all our listeners. Seriously, thank you so much for listening to us, especially our regular listeners in all like the different countries. I love seeing all the different cities. It's just, it's seriously mind-boggling to me that people even like listen to this at all.
So yeah, you ready to get into the stories? Because I think that's why they're here.
So I'm talking about a cult today. And I'm talking about a kind of lesser known one, Order of the Solar Temple. It was in like the 90s. So it's kind of around the time of Heaven's Gate and a bunch of those other cults. But this one kind of got swept under the radar a little bit. But it's super interesting, super crazy. I'm so ready to get into it. So Order of the Solar Temple. First, I want to talk about like the two founders. There's two of them.
Okay. Have to put this at the very beginning.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite cults. Okay, so just...
Haley's ready.
Yeah, so I'm going to be chiming in, but I just want to say I already know what she's going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And one I really like to listen and research about before she even did it. So
yeah. So first we got Luc Jouret. And he was born October 18th, 1947, in the Belgian Congo in Africa. And the Belgian Congo doesn't exist anymore. It was like a colony from Belgium, obviously. His parents were from Belgium, actually. And they ended up moving back to Belgium. And he went to a free university at Brussels. He actually got a medical degree. Pretty smart guy. In 1974. But while he was in college, he joined the Walloon Communist Group, which is just a group of students kind of doing communist things. And since communists were kind of, you know, sketchy at the time, he was put on a police surveillance list because of this. So the police were already like, wow, this Jouret guy, he needs to be watched. So in 1976, he was actually one of the Belgian army paratroopers. And then after that, he continued to study. He had a medical degree, but he studied the more natural medical side, homeopathy. So homeopathy is kind of hard to explain, but it's treating things with like natural things, like something to counteract what you're feeling.
Yeah, kind of like at my work, I was having an upset stomach and someone's like, here's a peppermint. It's supposed to like soothe your stomach.
Yeah, so like peppermints, you think they're kind of soothing, they're calming, so like you think, oh, it will counteract that, basically stuff like that. So that and spiritual healing. He went around and did like lectures on homeopathy everywhere. He went to the Philippines, China, Peru, India, but mainly he was based in France, and he gave a lot of lectures on his holistic health and also the paranormal. Talked about some ghosts in there. Ghosts and olive oil.
Sounds like you a little bit.
I was olive like, oil is amazing, though. Like, dip it some bread in that olive oil.
I'm just like a newbie. I was like, you. I was like, wow, olive oil, ghosts. Wow, you use a lot of olive oil.
So come at me.
I'm not coming at you. I'm just
At me with my olive oil.
Wow, this got aggressive fast.
Anyway, let's put the olive oil to the side because this guy is getting wild now. So he joined this new age group in Switzerland called the Golden Way Foundation. This is where he met Joseph de Mambrio, and he is the other founder. He is actually kind of the main founder of the cult. He's kind of like the mastermind, and then Jouret is like the outward image of the cult and like the recruiter. So let's talk about de Mambrio then, because he's the main dude we need to talk about. So this guy was born August 19th, 1924 in Pont-Saint-Espia in southern France. Sorry if I said that wrong. My French is dwindling, sadly. But he was a jeweler and a clockmaker, and he actually went to Catholic school. So in 1959, he joined AMORC, or Rosy Cross, or like Rosenkreuzen, like however you want to pronounce it. It's like a cult, but it's more of a self-help group. Like, you take a lot of self-improvement lessons, and they are actually still around, and they've been around since the 1910s. But he stayed with them for about 13 years, but it wasn't really a cult. It was, but it was more self-improvement, like, for real. But that's how a lot of cults start out, so... He also got in trouble for writing bad checks in France. And after he left Amorc, he was with them for 13 years again. Then he founded the Center for the Preparation of the New Age, which, if that doesn't sound like Illuminati, I don't know what does. And he founded that in 1973 in France. And after that, then he moved to Switzerland, and this is where he founded the Golden Way. And some of his followers from his first cult followed him to his second cult, the Golden Way. And Golden Way is where he met, again, Jaurès. And actually, Jaurès at one point had a friend with the last name of Orgaz. Hope I'm saying that right. But this friend had another cult. There's so many cults. Like, they just keep starting cults in this, like, everyone. So one of Jaurès's friends had a cult, and he died. So he was like, ooh, I'm going to take over my friend's cult. But then the friend's family was like, no.
I'm thinking, I was like, they just start cults for a hobby. They're like, I'm really bored. Let's start a cult.
I know, but they won't commit to one cult. They just, like, they keep starting new ones.
That's why I'm saying it's a hobby. You gotta keep going. You can't just have one, like, it's like a painter. Do they only paint one picture? No, they paint 100.
Gotta start 100 cults until you finally get the right one. Order of the Solar Temple. And that's what they did. He joined forces with Jaurès, so they started Order of the Solar Temple. So let's actually talk about the real cult. So it's based on the ideas of Knights Templar. Knights Templar was a cult, a supposed cult, from long, long time ago, like the Crusades era. And Joe was just obsessed with this. He thought he was a member of the Knights Templar in a previous life. There's a lot of previous life things. Like, both of them just are saying, hey, in a previous life, I was Marilyn Monroe. In a previous life, I was da-da-da-da. They go on and on about all their previous lives. So, in the cult, to join it, first you can get an observer membership. And this lasts about 3 to 6 months. And you pay a little bit of money, and you kind of just observe, you know? Like, you don't have to commit to the cult. And I kind of like how they give you that option, because most cults don't give you that option. They're just like, you're in or out. But no, they did. And after this, then you can join the Amanta Club. And this is $1,000 a year, which actually isn't too bad, but it's still more high class, middle class people joining this cult. And this is like the introductory level. And there's about 3 levels in the whole cult, and through each level you get like a different cape or a different robe, and eventually towards the end you'll look like a knight. Like, your outfit will resemble a knight, again going back to the whole Knights Templar thing. And another thing that was kind of interesting I found while poking around, they had to give gifts to the leaders. So they would just, you know, randomly give gifts to Joe or Luke, and they'd be like, here you go. Like, it was kind of expected of them. And in the cult, they had a ton of rituals, like super, super hard to understand rituals. Like, they wanted people to feel special that they could understand the rituals, because most people in the cult still didn't understand the rituals. I don't think even the leaders probably understood the rituals. They made it super confusing on purpose. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I agree. And also, I was telling you that I love the capes, because it was like, I'm so cool with this color cape. I'm better than you. I have a gold cape.
Yeah, gold cape are like one of the high ups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my God.
But a lot of them would have like a black cape or something.
Yeah, I just remember all the capes. It's like,
I know. It's like, it's kind of funny. It's like a nerdy thing. It's like, it's like a cult con, you know, cult convention. Who needs Comic Con when you have Cult Con?
Oh my God, we need to start that. Like, everyone who's into cults, ColtCon. If it's yeah. not a thing, we're starring it.
Oh, people would be so mad at us, but it'd be so fun because you could like dress up as members of famous cults. But and then we really all walk around and we learn about cults. And we how have, like, cult prevention.
Yes, cult convention. Wait. So I'm going to start a Patreon to start this. So I will update you when we'll get this all up.
Yes, it's going to turn into just like us in our house, like dressed up and just sad. But we want this to happen. ColtCon 2030, because that gives us a lot of time to prepare. The rituals were super hard to understand, and this made them feel superior to normal human beings. And Demambrio, the kind of face behind the curtain, per se, he actually, this is really interesting, he decided when females could have kids. And he also decided what those kids' names would be. Which, excuse me, that's just dumb. Like, no, you can't decide what I'm naming my kid.
Yeah, this is a running theme in all cults. Like, they're mm-hmm. like, or most cults are like, okay, we can decide when you're having kids or not having kids, who you can have kids with if you are going to have kids with, and we are going to take them as our own kids, and we'll name them for you. Because it's our kids, not your kids, it's our kids.
Just so much control. They just have to be in control. So, yeah, Demambrio decided all about the kids, and some people speculate that this whole cult was just a money laundering front, which I love money laundering. That sounded really bad, but like I love learning about it. I wouldn't actually launder money, but it's so interesting how people launder money. Maybe I'll do an episode about that someday. But yeah, some people say this cult was just money laundering because they did. They had a lot of money, but there's a lot of rich and middle class people in this, so it kind of makes sense. So this cult was mainly in France, Switzerland, and Canada. There was a little bit in Australia, I think, but you can fact check me on that. But yeah, that's kind of, we don't know actually a ton about the rituals because it was so hard to understand and they're so secretive. Like some cults, they want attention, like Heaven's Gate, but this cult wanted to be secret. Like they thought the government was out to get them all the time and they thought the world was ending. All the time. So, let's talk about some of their beliefs. So, Jaurès, Luc Jaurès, thought he was the Christ. And before every ceremony, he would have to have sex with one of the female members before the ritual, so he would have strength for the ceremony. Which, that is, wow, what a player thing to do, wouldn't you say, Haley?
Yes.
Let's fight him. Also, Demambrio thought his daughter, Emmanuel, was the cosmic child. He also had a son, which he said was conceived through the gods. And his son actually grew up in this cult, and his son eventually questioned the organization, and he didn't think a lot of this stuff was real because he was seeing all the, like, the lights and the fog machines and the projectors that they were using, like, behind the scenes. And he was like, this isn't real, Dad. Like, what's up? What's up, Daddy-O? So the son, when he was questioning the cult, a lot of members actually left the cult because they were like, wait, why is this kid questioning him? Maybe I should question him and maybe I should get the heck out of here. So that's just an interesting tidbit. But one of their main beliefs that they thought death isn't real and life continues on other planets, and that if you join this cult, they will help lead the followers to a planet revolving around the star Sirius. And I hope I said that right, but it's kind of like a little bit of Christianity beliefs, not a lot, with a lot of New Age philosophy and like natural medicine and just all the New Age, basically, all the New Age. So in order to reach this new world and go around this star, they have to die in fire. And death is the ultimate phase of human growth. So they want to reach that phase. They want to die in fire because they think the world's going to end in fire anyway. They were big on like doomsday, kind of. They thought the world was ending. They thought the government was out to get them all the time.
Another common trait in cults. Most of the time, it's the government's either after us because we mm-hmm. are doing something right, or the world must be ending. So join this cult and you'll be saved.
Exactly. It's all cults, basically. There's so many running themes. But actually, they were kind of right. The government was a little bit out to get them. Because in Canada, they were actually convicted of illegally possessing gun silencers. So something kind of small, but also the government was kind of catching on. But they didn't catch on soon enough because some bad stuff happened. So let's talk about something that's really, really touchy subject. But just heads up, this involves babies. But Tony DeTwat, hopefully I said that. Tony DeToy? I don't know. I'm bad at French names.
I think you said it right.
Really?
I feel.
You think I said it right?
I feel.
Tony. Let's just call him Tony.
Yeah. That was
So this guy's in Canada, in Montreal, Canada. Love Montreal, by the way. So if any listeners are there, shout out. But Tony was going to speak out against the cult, and he was going to reveal secrets. So this is really sad, but him, his wife, and their 3-month baby were all killed.
No, I'm getting my cults confused. Because mm-hmm. there's one cult which someone named their baby the same, like...
Yeah, yeah, that's this.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I'm pretty sure
Yeah, the main reason the three of them were killed were because Tony wanted to reveal secrets, but also they named their baby the same name as one of DeMambrio's babies, and they were... DeMambrio was really mad.
Yeah, you say it before, the child of, like, the god.
Emmanuel?
I can't remember the son's name. But you said it in your notes. But basically, he thought he was, like, god, and, like...
Yeah, he thought both of his kids were, like...
Yeah. So, by naming, like, they're, like... He forbid them from naming their child that, and they kind of did it anyways. And mm-hmm. so they're like, your child's unholy because that's the total opposite of what my child is. Like, your baby's the total opposite, so we must kill it.
Yeah, they thought the baby was the Antichrist. That's what they said.
Yeah, I was like, I'm trying to find the right word.
So, yeah, they were killed at the group centers in Morin Heights, Quebec. And the baby, this is really, really sad, was stabbed with a wooden stake with a black plastic bag around the baby. So, really sad and really tragic. And I don't know how they didn't get prosecuted for that. Like,
because they kind of hit, like, they, like, just, like, the fire and everything, like, mm-hmm. they probably didn't catch on and, like, when you're in a cult, sometimes you don't know they're in a cult, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, through this whole crimes, they didn't really get caught as much because it was, like...
They were so secretive.
Yeah, and, like Jonestown, like, for example, like, you kind of knew what was going on.
Yeah, true.
But, like, this cult was very secretive and, like, it was, like, fires, but it was, like, we don't have really any suspects, so you can't really...
Yeah, which we'll get to that because... Now is, like, when it picks up. Like, this is the time, yeah. Folks. So there's a lot of, like, inner circles with this and people making decisions at the top. Like, the top is the International Knighthood Association. That's, like, the exclusive inner circle. So that's, like, DeMambrio, Jouret, and, like, some other, like, really high ups. So, again, they thought they were being persecuted by governments, and all this stuff was going on. It was just snowballing. So they decided we need to leave the Earth a little bit early. They were going to anticipate the end of the world. So DeMambrio had a Last Supper, kind of like in the Bible. He had 12 of his highest-ranking members and friends, and they got together and they had dinner. And this is an interesting thing. About their group suicide. It was 5 separate incidents over 3 years. So they kind of spread it out. So it wasn't like Jonestown won at once. It was spread out. So I think that's kind of why the government didn't catch on as much.
Yeah, especially also it's fire. Yeah. And fires are more, this could have happened, besides like poisoning or like shooting or something like that, where it's like, okay, definitely something's going on, but fire, that's kind of more, it could happen naturally.
Yeah, exactly. And 74 members total were found dead. And I don't say all of them committed suicide, because not all of them did. Some of them were actually murdered. They were shot in the head, or they were drugged, or they were asphyxiated. But yeah, so there has been some questions about, like, how willing people were to do this. And some of them did really believe in the cult, and they did commit suicide, but some of them were murdered. So I just want to put that out there. But some of the images of this were just, like, haunting. So they found, like, some of these groups. They wore their black robes, and they were in, like, the position of a star with their feet pointing towards the center, and there was bags over their heads. And fire. Burn. Everything's burned. Because they were thought you had to die in fire to go, like, to the star and to, like, reach the next stage of humanity or something like that. So yeah, their bodies were burnt. Some were in gold robes. This happened in, well, DeMambro and Jore were two who died. Like, they both killed themselves. They were in Fribourg and Valais. I think those are both in France or Switzerland. But actually, DeMambro's, his son, Ellie, that's the name.
Yeah.
Was also part of these bodies, and there's been questions to whether if he agreed to this or not, because he was questioning the organization earlier, so kind of makes you think.
Yeah, it probably wasn't a choice, but...
Probably. And the only people who actually, like, escaped this cult was, there was three children who escaped in Quebec, and they were the only survivors that I could find, at least, when I was digging around.
Yeah. And the weird thing, too, is, like, this is, like, Canada, France, like, Switzerland, like, okay, France kind of got their riots every so often, but usually they're very peaceful, especially, yeah, like, Canada and Switzerland, so it's, like, really weird, too, it's, like...
I know, and the fact that people didn't really know this was going on until they started connecting the dots with the fires and the bodies, and then there's, like, some cult experts in France that actually had to look into this as, like, an investigation, like a criminal investigation. So they got, like, a cult expert, which I would love to be a cult expert. Do you know how awesome that is? But, yeah, that's basically what I have. Do you have anything else to chime in with, Haley?
No, you covered it very well. Yeah.
I'm glad. I tried to do some good research. I listened to some podcasts. I read a ton of articles. You have to dig for this one.
Oh, no. Actually, another shout out to another podcast I love. Last Podcast on the Left actually did a two-parter on this. And it's
three-parter, actually.
Oh, three. Did you listen to them?
I listened to the whole first one. I listened to most of the second one. And then I also read a ton of articles.
Okay, listen to theirs, because they go so much into detail, and they're also hilarious. Like, I think they kind of, like, the robes were, like, you know, like, the karate belts, like, kids would get, like, that. Uh-huh. Like, they were kind of, I've listened to too many podcasts, but, like, I'm pretty sure they, like, compared it to, like, the robes.
Yeah, they're really funny. Like, yes. They're way funnier than we are.
Way funnier. But their sense of humor is for more mature people, I will say that.
Yeah, but no, they did an amazing job covering this. They really did some digging, and thank you to them, because yeah. They found a lot of, like, stuff, especially on the members, is what was really good, like, digging into their lives, because that's a little harder to find.
Yeah, go listen to them.
Yeah, so I guess we're going over to Haley with some paranormal today.
Yes. So I am doing the Chair of Death. Okay, so there's this guy. Name, me and
Thomas name. Busby.
Busby. I was like, yeah. He was convicted for murder of his son-in-law, Daniel, in 1702, okay? Very, very, like, he was just, like, the son-in-law was arguing with his daughter. So the father-in-law was saying in Thomas's, like, favorite chair, like, after an argument with, Thomas's wife or Dylan's daughter, Elizabeth. So he was hanged in 1702. Wow, I'm a mess. It's too early in the morning. So he stopped by the pub and cursed his chair. So anyone who sits in the chair dies. Yeah. Just dies. No, like, broken bones, no bad luck. Just dies.
And, like, the guy who cursed the chair, he's just kind of funny because he's just, like, a rowdy, aggressive guy. Yes. He just has anger issues.
Yes. And, like, it, like, remained in the pub, too. Like, the guy cursed it. It remained in the pub, like, during World War II. And, like, so there's these air base by, like, a military base by this pub, and it was like a hot spot for people. And they called the chair, became a hot seat. And, like, they noticed, like, one person will sit in the chair and, like, never come back for more.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, here's they have for a record. In 1967, two Royal Air Force pilots sat in the chair. And while they were driving back, they crashed into a tree and died. Like, how, like...
That is so weird.
They don't know why, like...
And, like, both of them...
Died.
And both of them sat in the chair?
Yeah.
Wait, why did both of them sit in the chair? Like, why would both of them sit in the chair?
They, like, took turns, because they're like, ha, 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 like...
Oh, so they knew it was cursed, yeah. And they're like, ha, ha, let's sit in this chair and die.
Like, okay, if a chair kills people, I think, like, the town people will know, and, like, a few years later, two bricklayers decided to try it, and that afternoon, the one who sat in it fell to his death.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's, like, killed everyone, no matter what, like.
Like, everyone people have known that have, like,
sat in that chair, like,
or
died.
Even touched it. Don't some people touch it and they die?
Yeah, I was getting to that. For some instance, like, including, like, a roofer who sat in the chair, like, after and, like, died working on the roof. Mm-hmm. It, like, collapsed. A cleaning woman stumbled, like, into the chair. Like, you know how when you're, like, falling? Like, yeah, she, like, touched the chair.
Yeah, I remember hearing about her.
Yeah.
And she was careful. She didn't want to touch the chair. Yeah, she believed in it.
Yeah, and, like, later she died from a brain tumor. And, like, if all these deaths are happening and, like, it's known to be cursed, move it right away. Why will you let people sit on a chair?
Didn't they put it in storage when the cleaning lady was there? So, like, they at least took it out of the main pub so people wouldn't sit in it. But then this poor lady, I feel so bad for her. Like, this guy who cursed this chair needs to have, like, some respect.
Yeah, this is, like, his favorite chair, like...
So, why do you have a favorite chair? Like, I don't have a favorite chair.
I do at my house.
You have a favorite chair?
Yeah, like, I have a favorite, like, spot
would
in my
you,
house.
Would you curse your chair?
I wouldn't, but, like, I get offended if someone sits in my spot at my house, like, because I can tell them off. So I can be like, yo, get out of my spot. This is my spot. I claimed it. But otherwise, no. But, so they moved it to the basement.
Good call, but also they should have made a better call.
It gets worse. So, like, they were hoping no one would, like, sit in the basement. But, however, one day a delivery guy was in the basement and sat in it. An hour later, he crashed his truck and died. After his death, the landlord donated to a local museum. So, the museum was smart enough to hang the chair 5 feet off the ground.
Good job.
And they, like, it's, a, like, a spot, too, where, like, no one can climb up there. And also, like, I don't know why you would, but yeah.
I bet people still try to climb up there and touch it. Because people are dumb.
So it is now safe from people not trying to sit in the chair. But new stories are still coming out about the chair's power.
So it's 5 feet off the ground. I guess people who are tall could still touch it then?
Yeah, I'm 6. Okay, like, I'm 6'1". I could touch it. Like, I'm taller than the chair. Like,
yeah. Do they have someone watching the chair in the museum, you think?
Probably.
being like, don't touch this, please. You will die.
Yeah, so like one local was told about a driver who picked up an airman, and the airman like asked to go to the bathroom. And okay, so while waiting, the driver was like sitting in the chair when the airman didn't return. Okay, wait. Okay, I'm like, am I reading this? Okay, so when the airman didn't return, the driver left without him, and like the angry airman had to make his like own way back to base. When he got back, like the airman grabbed a building brick and smashed the head of the driver and killed him. Even that, like, this guy's probably a good guy since he's like in the military, and like military, like, people, they have
seemed like a normal guy.
Yeah, like a normal, like, I would think so, because like army, like they do like very like hardcore background checks on people, and like if they have anything little wrong, like anger issues, mental.
I don't know, because also Golden State Killer was in the military. It can happen, Haley.
But I feel like it was in a time where they do take, because it's the timing too of everything.
Yeah, it's just like, weird that it's like a bunch of coincidences with like death in the chair.
Yeah, and then like also like the military. So like I feel like, yeah. So I feel like this guy, I'm just gonna assume he was like a good guy, and like why all of a sudden like would, like, I would be angry, but I wouldn't be angry enough to kill somebody if they just left without me. Like, I'd be angry, but I wouldn't kill anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, so like it made it impossible for like the museum. It's still opening and functioning with the chair in the place.
Can we go see the chair?
Since of December 2014.
Oh.
So, yeah. It is said for some time, like, the death and everything, a person who's in the chair experienced, like, hauntings, paranoia, hearing things, confusion, items being moved, written warnings on the mirrors, walls, about people's immediate death. In addition to many other things, strange things happening. So, yeah. So, this chair just wants to kill people. For real.
I just think the guy is such a diva.
For real. Like, you don't even need to know the backstory, but just the history of the chair with killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. And, like, why? Okay. I like to think the best of people. But why would you sit in a chair that shows evidence, like, all these times people have died, and you still want to try and touch it or send it? Like, you are asking.
You're just asking for it.
Oh, my God.
The history is really not that important. It's just like.
No, it's not, because the guy was just basically. Okay, so Thomas's daughter married this guy. Thomas didn't like the guy. He says, can I too, sorry, and yeah, yeah, yeah. Thomas was like, yo, I hate you. I'm going to kill you. Bang. Okay, now I'm going to commit murder, but. And, like, probably get, like, charged with murder, you know, and all that. And I'm going to curse this chair. Why would you go and curse your chair?
I know, this is kind of random. Like, he's just, like, doing all this stuff out of spite, and then he's, like, going to curse my chair.
The real logic of this whole situation is, how did the person nailing the chair to the wall, how did they not die?
Yeah, because they had to touch it. I wonder if they have some special gloves, like,
or like they took a robot and like had them do it. For real, I'm like,
special,
I would,
death chair touching.
Oh my
gloves.
God, I'm just thinking of like the like the newbie is like, hey, so you gotta hang this chair up. I'm just gonna say, like, you might die, but, like, you're the new guy, so good luck.
True. Like, can you imagine? Just, you're like, someone walks in, they're like, why is there a chair up there? Like, that's just a chair. Like, who cares about that? This is a museum. Yeah, and they're just, like, don't touch that chair.
Oh my God. I would be like, I can see someone being petty and going, Yeah. And like push a person and touch the chair if they're super mad at them. I can see someone being that petty.
They should be convicted of murder then.
They should be. But like, I can see someone being petty like that.
I
mean,
I could too. Especially if they're like skeptical of the paranormal.
Yeah, they're like.
But yeah, I think that's. Is that our, yes. That's our stories?
Yeah.
I think we're semi-running on time.
Yeah.
I didn't start this till after our intro.
But
so.
Yeah, I just want to keep things short and sweet. And, like, I didn't want to go back into the history because, like, that's not important in my mind.
Yeah, and Haley kind of summarized it perfectly. Really, the only extra details are, like, super tiny things, like, with their names and stuff.
Yeah. But, yeah, I hope you enjoy this. We are early, so please excuse any mistakes. Yes. And we are young and early.
We are feeling rough, feeling really rough. But
so
follow our social medias. Our Instagram is our only working one, Cults Conspiracies Creepies.
Yes, and we are very active on there, so go check it out.
Our email is the same thing, cultsconspiriescreepies@gmail.com. so if you have any business inquiries or you just want to email us some like topics or suggestions, yeah, like seriously, like DM us, slide on in
for real. Like, we gotta know, like
we want to know what you
we will talk to you, like, and then watch us be famous and you'll be like, well, look at this, I got a DM from them, like, from the very beginning. I feel honored.
Whoa,
like,
whoa, whoa, I don't think we're ever gonna be famous.
Jasmine, why learn from, okay, I'm just gonna shout off podcast today because I feel like it, and this is if you have listened to this is why we drink vision boards. Putting good vibes out there makes things happen, Jasmine. So we're gonna be famous one day.
Okay, but maybe we'll be famous for something bad, like starting a cult.
We will not.
Okay,
you might. Me, no.
I'm not gonna start a cult.
It's gonna be a vegan cult. But yeah, thank you for listening, and
yes, thanks for putting up with us. Check out our old episodes and then look forward to our new one. We are posting the first three Sundays of the month, and then the last three Sundays of the month, and then the first Sunday is like our break week because we're college students and we can't do weekly yet, but eventually we will get to that point. And yeah,
so if you guys want us to start Patreon, you guys support us, so we will
eventually start one.
We can work less and have sponsors and give better content. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Eventually, yes, we need to get mics, but that's a whole nother story. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.